radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, also Newsmax TV. Glad to have you along for the ride on a Tuesday. Really glad to have this guy on. This was a last-minute interview set up, and he switched some things around and came on for us, and we appreciate it. It's the author of No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Becoming or is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. His name is Raheem Kassam. Raheem, how are you?
I'm very well, Joe. How are you?
I really appreciate you coming on. I'm doing well, but I hate meeting new people because somebody just killed a bunch of people. You know what I mean? I wish that we had met under different circumstances, obviously.
Seems like the way that we end up networking with each other nowadays is through incidents and atrocities. It's something I'm familiar with, being from Europe, of course. We've had 45 of these incidents this year alone, Joe. But the United States really has an uphill task ahead of it, because there is just so much in the way of blockages and stoppages to policies that would make this country safer. The left continues to push. And so, you know, on a day like today, we really must look at what the courts across America are doing, what Obama was doing, how all these refugees came in, and what's taking place as a result of it.
It's Raheem Kassam. He's the author of No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. Yeah, we've seen this in Europe. And you know what? Unfortunately, although, you know, the internet and the day and age in which we live, it's not as far as it used to be. But Europe still is, to an American, a very faraway place, a very foreign land. It's happening over there. It's horrible. I wish it wouldn't happen in Brussels and Manchester and London and Paris and Nice. Boy, I hate that it happened, but that's over there. Raheem, it's here now. You're in Lower Manhattan, right outside of where the memorial is, to where radical Islamic pieces of garbage took down the Twin Towers, and now 8 people are dead because they decided to ride bikes on a bike trail. So we need to raise our awareness, obviously, but what do we do now before this becomes epidemic here?
Well, it's just a huge... I mean, how long have you got? Here's where we need to start, is to stop allowing the left to drive this narrative, is to stop allowing the policies that were supposed to be put into place, the travel ban, for instance, the other one being the merit-based immigration system that President Trump wants to implement, allowing the security services and the police to do their jobs, unlike Mayor Bill de Blasio, who wants to stymie them at every opportunity. There needs to be an uprising amongst people, like there was on November the 8th last year, to say we won't tolerate this anymore. We won't tolerate people mowing down civilians on the streets. But also what there needs to be, Joe, is a much more serious conversation. And I believe this needs to start with the White House. And it needs to start with a prescription, a ban on the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization in this country. All the things that Donald Trump is doing correctly, he's not doing the one big thing that would actually disrupt and help to start dismantling this network across the United States, and that is banning the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. It has so many entities, so many arms, so many outlets, so many front groups, organizations in this country that push for Sharia law, that radicalize these young men and women. And at this point in time, we're 10 months into this administration, no moves on that have been made, and I hope this attack will bring to the mind of President Trump the fact that this is sitting on a stack of papers somewhere and he needs to get it done.
It's Raheem Kassam. He is the author of No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. The Muslim Brotherhood has a very easy to find on the internet manifesto, what they want to do. CARE has been an organization that has been said to be connected to the Muslim Brotherhood and others. You're right. But our open borders and our refugee system and our First Amendment that gives freedom of religion and freedom to worship as you see fit is being used against us. And of course, the First Amendment doesn't allow you to smite at the neck anybody who you seem, you know, who you deem as an infidel or doesn't believe like you believe. But we're seeing that, and then we're calling them radical people. We're calling them people outside of what Islam is. The fact is, if you're a fundamentalist Islamist, you believe that either you believe like I do or you die, don't you?
Up to 51% of Muslims in America believe that they should be able to choose whether to live by Sharia law or live by U.S. law.
And wow.
And so you can't buy this narrative that, oh, it's a tiny minority of people. It's not a tiny minority of people. It is at least 40% of young Muslims in the United Kingdom say the very same thing, and 51% of Muslims in the United States say the same thing. There has to be, I mean, Teddy Roosevelt talked about this so many decades ago. There has to be firm, hard asks, nay, demands made of migrants into this country, into any Western nation, that we have one flag, we have one anthem, we have one language. And isn't it incredible that on the day after the Latino Victory Fund, this Democrat organization, put out an advert that showed a man driving a truck with a Confederate flag on the back plowing into young ethnic minority children in Virginia. Isn't it incredible that one day after that, we see that all along, this is not a problem on our side. This is a problem on the, what I call the Red-Green Alliance's side, the Islamists and the leftists, coming together to defend an extremist fascist ideology. And here's what you said just a minute ago, that the freedom of religion protects this, but Islam isn't strictly a religion. That's what we struggle to wrap our heads around. This is,
well, it's a government construct
ideology.
Too, right? Yeah.
It is. It's a state-sponsored construct, and it is a political ideology. There are many Muslims out there, by the way, that don't want to live the Sharia. We have to identify them. We have to drive a wedge between them and the Quranic literalists and fundamentalists. That would be the way to go about this. Instead, we tie ourselves up in knots, talking about Islamophobia and, you know, how can we be nicer and more welcoming? Listen, you could have been the nicest person in the world to this person who mowed down eight people earlier, killed eight people, mowed down more in New York earlier. It wouldn't have made a difference to them. The crocodile will eat you nevertheless.
It's Raheem Kassam. The name of the book is No Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. I've got to ask you, Raheem, do you believe that the majority of Muslims who say they want to have Sharia law understand it? Because if they did, they understand that women are 50% of what men are. They understand that if you're homosexual, you die. You get thrown off of a roof. You understand that the Hadith calls for violence. And because of the way the Quran is set up, all the early peaceful, you know, mentions and notations are gone by the later violent passages. Do they not know that, or do they know that and don't care?
Such an incredible question. It's hard to really pin down what percentage of them will know and what percentage of them just think of it as adherence to the way Muhammad lived his life, and it's been drilled into them that they have to live their lives that way too. But what we can say and what we do know is that the first Muslim migrants into the West, on the whole, were actually not interested in Sharia. They were trying to get away from it. They wanted to live their lives, get jobs, own houses, own businesses, pay their taxes, you know, well, in so much as anybody wants to pay their taxes, but, you know, they wanted to get out of what they were in. It's their kids and their grandkids. It's the second and third generations that we see perpetrating these attacks. And why? Because we have allowed a lax system that lets the Saudi Arabian government fund mosques in the United States and in the United Kingdom and across Germany and France, and we let that happen. You know, it's a very easy policy to implement, to actually say, do you know what? If you're running a religious institution in the United States, you may not take money from abroad. We do it with our politics, and yet we don't do it with our civil life. And you can stop that in a heartbeat. And the Saudis can talk till they're blue in the face about how much they want to reform and change and start opposing terrorism and all this stuff. The fact is, they planted these seeds long ago, and now they're manifesting themselves. Now the plants are springing up in the way of young people, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds. By the way, let me ask you this. When was the last time a 65-year-old Muslim man tried to do an attack like this? Doesn't happen.
It's obviously rhetorical, but you're right. The problem is with the youth, because they're reachable via the internet. Let me ask you one more question. I really appreciate you making time for me today. It's Raheem Kassam, Raheem Kassam. He's the author of No Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. They are radicalizing or fundamentalizing or whatever we want to call them, the young people, through the internet, via social media, via websites that teach you how great Islam is and how great Sharia law is, and you get to control the women and they're your slaves and whatever else. That's what they're doing. So how do we stop it? We can't shut the internet off. How do we permeate a brain that's already been indoctrinated by this hate-filled form of Islam?
Well, this is something I've been thinking about and working on a solution to for some time, and the answer I keep coming back to is that actually the reason these young people are so susceptible to a strict ideology and a strict way of thinking is because young people tend to like and need discipline. And radical Islam or fundamentalist Islam offers that to them. We now live in a world which is where we're talking about, you know, transgender bathrooms and NFL protests and all of this stuff. And the outside world sort of looks at us and laughs. They don't really know where they're coming from. They don't know where their grounding is. They don't have traditions. They don't stand up for their culture. And it's those sorts of things that the left is trying to whittle away, because when you whittle away traditions and culture and you know, a belief in who you are as a people, only then can other things fill that vacuum. And that's what I keep coming back to. If you really want to tackle this, you have to say, as far as I'm concerned, to the liberal left, we're just not going to deal with any of your nonsense anymore. We're not going to entertain this idea of having weird pronouns for people that can't decide whether they're a man or a woman. That's the thing that young Muslims abhor in the West, and that's why they're turning to a more strict and fundamentalist tradition.
Well, it's a second part of that question that would have to be, because of your great answer, is it really as simple as giving boundaries to a young person. Here's the discipline. Here's the way it works. Here's our value system. Here's what our government looks like. Here's what you are if you're in America and want to be an American. Really? It's that simple?
You know, when I first started coming to the United States, I used to visit Washington, D.C. quite a lot. And it would fill me with such immense pride, even though it wasn't my nation, to see flags hanging from, you know, the U.S. flag hanging from almost every single building and house. And now what do you see? Either the flagpoles are empty or they've got the rainbow flags on them. That's taking place all across the United States at the moment. And you have this feeling out there that the U.S. doesn't have an identity, that the West doesn't have an identity. So unless you give people, like you say, the boundaries of identity, then they're going to find it elsewhere.
That's amazing. I really appreciate you summing it up. And again, thank you for moving stuff around and coming on today. Raheem Kassam.
Absolutely.
The name of the book is No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. Raheem, can we speak again?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
All right, I appreciate your time, but very, very good insight. Your thoughts on that when we come back, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.